publish too much personal information, so that's another reason we took the names out. This is called Conversations with Kids About God. One of the greatest joys as grandparents is having deep, and I hope our grandkids are listening. One of the greatest joys as grandparents is having deep conversations with our grandkids. You can learn so much from their innocent and literal view of life, like things about their parents, and especially things about God. It's sort of God in a nutshell from a kid's point of view. I have found that these conversations are best had when there is no outside interference, pressures, or distractions, such as while we're taking a long road trip in the car, when conversation is about the only entertainment option possible. On one such road trip with our oldest two granddaughters, who at the time were 7 and 4, my husband and I were not directly involved in a conversation between the two girls because we were busy talking to each other in the front seat. But fortunately, we caught just the tail end of what must have been a very deep discussion. 7-year-old said, "Well, Morgan," I'll go ahead and say I have permission from these two girls. 7-year-old Katie said, "Well, Morgan," who was 4, "what do you expect? You hate the house of God." To which our indignant little Morgan replied, "Katie, I do not hate the house of God." And logical Katie retorted back, "Then why do you cry every time we have to go to church?" And little Morgan's reply was so totally genuine and priceless. She said, tearfully, "Because they don't got any food." As my husband and I didn't want to interrupt such a precious conversation, we really tried hard to stifle our belly laughs the best we could. But in the backs of our minds, you bet we chalked one up for making sure the little ones have something to eat when they come to Sunday school. In Matthew 15 and 33, Jesus had great compassion on the multitude that had run out of food while listening to him preach the gospel of love and redemption for several days, and he graciously fed them before allowing them to depart home. Surely we should do the same for the littlest ones entrusted to our care. Our youngest grandson at the time was 5 years old, revealed God in a totally different way. Again, while we were driving in the car on a road trip, we were talking about how we loved God, and we asked him if he loved God too. His reply was, "Yes, but not that much." Well, we knew this could go just about any direction with the way he was thinking, and we were very anxious to find out more. So we casually asked him, "Honey, why don't you love God that much?" His reply was, very matter-of-factly, "Well, it's about the spankings." Yes, I can certainly see how a child might interpret that action, and it made perfect sense to us. His parents had followed the Bible's admonition in administering the rod of correction, and he blamed the Lord for that. Come to think of it, his reaction is not so unlike some adults I've witnessed who so focused on the fear of receiving spiritual spankings, they might, because of things they might lose or have to give up in order to become Christ-like, so they walk away from the love of God. A few weeks ago at a family get-together, my daughter-in-law and I were chatting in her kitchen, and in the conversation I said, "Well, the bottom line is," when just at that moment, our very wise, beyond her 9 years of age, and I might add, very talented granddaughter, literally flew by us running outside to play, and she interjected, "Grandma, Jesus is the bottom line." Yes, sweetie, he certainly is. Our middle son, grandson, provided yet another insight to God's complexity, as seen by a 7-year-old little boy. Again, driving in the car, we were discussing the Sunday school topic of the day when he said, "Well, I used to not know anything about God, but now I do." "Well, that's wonderful. What do you know?" "I know Jesus is God. I used to think he wasn't, but now I know he is." Very true. Recently, he was at our house and he picked up a brand new Bible we had just received in the mail. And he turned to John 3:16. I was feeling so proud that he did that all by himself when he blurted out, "Hey, this Bible is not a fake. It's real." And we asked him, "How does he know it's real?" "Because it says right here, his only begotten son. If it says begotten, it can't be a fake." Out of the mouths of babes. I'm amazed at the sponge-like capacity of children to absorb input around them. I'm also so very thankful that their parents are teaching them truths about God and his word, and that these truths are firmly planted in their hearts. Jesus was partial to the children to the point that he chastised his very elect and admonished them to give the children access to him. Matthew 19:14 says, "But Jesus called unto them and said, Suffer little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein." It's clear that Jesus loves the little children. And just like we natural grandparents do, I can imagine that he finds such joy and even hilarity in their innocent responses to him. As adults, I think we can bring joy to him too by responding to him just as a little child would, with open hearts.
Thank you, and I appreciate that. And one of the most important things as parents and grandparents is to present to our children the gospel and pray that the Lord touches their heart and brings them into a relationship with him. That absolutely is so critical. And we used to tell Brother Kincaid, "Oh, you did such a wonderful job with your boys." He said, "I did my best," and he said, "The Lord did the rest." He said, because we don't have control over what our children do or our grandchildren. All we can do is present the message. Now, the reason I passed out the words to this song is because there's always a little bit of risk of losing people when you do a video. And I've got to keep you on the line for this message that's probably not that long, I don't think, but we're going to start with this. Brother Rob tried with all of his heart to teach us this song. I think we got part of it. I don't know if we ever got the amens. We tried. But this is a complicated piece of music. Matter of fact, on YouTube, the guy that wrote this, Richard Smallwood, does tutorials on how to sing this song. We probably could have used that way back in the day. But now, we're going to listen to the... Brother Rob really leaned on the Brooklyn Tabernacle Choir for our music, our resources. And we had great music and great songs. Everyone sang amen. Sister Becky sang some leads. Audrey sang some leads. And some of the different ones were gone already. And other churches sang some leads. But these are beautiful songs. And this one is no exception.
Thank you.
Thank you, Donnie, for your help. Debbie said, what are you preaching this week? I said, I'm preaching a song. I don't know if I've ever done this, maybe, but total praise. This song, I just love it. I love the words, and I love the music to it. I love how it starts so low and how powerful it is. Lord, I lift mine eyes to the hills. So I want to turn to the book, the Psalm 121. 121. This is a psalm that is part of the Songs of Degrees. So it's 15 psalms. And it starts in 120, and it goes to 134. The first set in a set of five is distress and trouble. That's 120, 23, 26, 29, 32. The second set is trust and deliverance. That covers 121 that we're going to read in a moment, 124, 127, 120, or 130 and 133, and then blessings and triumph. So 1, 2, 3, 1, 2, 3, and the blessings and triumph are 122, 125, 128, and 131 and 134. And 121 says, I will lift my eyes to the hills. You say the hills are your help. I'm lifting my eyes to the hills, and I'm looking beyond the hills and seeing the Lord. From whence cometh my help? My help comes from the Lord. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. I look at the hills and I see my help. Actually, I look at the ocean and I see my help. I look at the beautiful trees, I see my help. My help comes from the Lord who made the heaven and earth. He will not allow your foot to be moved. He who keeps you will not slumber. Behold, he who keeps Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. He's not going to hibernate on you. The Lord is your keeper. The Lord is your shade at your right side. The sun shall not strike you by day, or the moon by night. How many saw the big moon last night? It was really, really pretty. The Lord shall preserve you from all evil. He shall preserve your soul. The Lord shall preserve your going out and your coming in from this time forth and even forevermore. I think this is a little loud. Thank you, Audrey. Lord, we're thankful for your word. Thank you, Lord, for the truth and the power and the strength that we have in your word. And I pray today, Lord, your blessing. Bless this word and bless your people. I pray, Lord, that you'll strengthen us by this word and that you'll minister to our hearts and lives. We honor you today. We're so thankful to belong to you. We honor and give you glory. Amen. In looking at total praise, how's that volume? Is that good? Can y'all hear? That's good then, Audrey. Thank you. In looking at total praise, and the word total means comprising a whole, entire, complete, utter, the total amount, to bring to a total and to reach a total of, and to demolish beyond repair. Like we're seeing towns totaled, that these fires are hitting, and it's such a loss, it's total. And to amount. The definition of the word praise is an expression of approval or admiration. The offering of grateful homage is an act of worship, or to express approval or admiration. and to offer grateful homage to God. It also says in deity, but I'm going to cut off the deity. I don't care anything about any deity getting praise except God. He is the one. And that's why I'm saying we're talking about total praise only to God. Are you saying we shouldn't compliment other people? No. I'm talking about our praise, our worship only belongs to God. Compliment people all you want to. Not only that, be thankful and grateful for what people do for you. That's good manners, and it's good therapy for us. But we're offering total praise to the God that is our total help in the time of need. I did a wedding a week ago yesterday. Part of that wedding ceremony starts off marriage like our own creation of as men and women owes its very existence to God. And I thought, wow, that is a neat line. That marriage and our own creation as men and women owns its very existence to God. We would not be here if it were not for God. And so it's very important, and marriage is God's institution. I know what the government has done to it, and they're wrong. The United States of America overstepped, because marriage is God's thing. People can do whatever they want to, but they overstepped. Marriage belongs. So people make a big difference. Oh, you believe that marriage is only between men and women? Yes, I do, because that's God's word. And it's truth. Anything else is not truth, and it's a lie, and it should never be. Our government should have never put God into God's business. Okay, that's aside, because everything that we are is God's. He created us. And Jesus died on the cross that we can be born again, so he could recapture our fellowship and our devotion and our love. My help comes from God. So this song says, you are the source of my strength. If we have any strength at all, you say, well, I don't have much. Yeah, but you have some, and it's God. And God's going to give you more strength and more strength. You are the strength of my life, and I will lift my hands in total. You're the only one that gets my praise. You're the only one. Why? Because you're the only one that can help my situation, help my needs. The peace that he gives us in the time of storm. So he's the source of everything that we are. And for that, we need to give him our whole life in dedication. Everything that we are. Presenting our whole beings as a living sacrifice before the Lord. Amen. Everything we are, we owe it to the Lord. Now I'm going to switch gears, and I'm going to ask you to turn to Revelation chapter 5, my favorite chapter in the Bible. I love this chapter. And I think recently we may have used the first part, we may have used the whole thing. It's not that long. But we're going to start with verse 8. Revelation 5 and verse 8. This has so much information and so much good in it. I thought, you know, if we realize that we owe everything to God and he is our only resource, then here's the example of how praise works in heaven. We sang a song. Now, am I going to forget the name of that song? The last song that we sang, what a day that will be, when my Jesus I shall see, when he takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What was that? What a day, glorious day, that will be. This is that day. Because this takes place right after the rapture of the church. And we understand that Jesus is coming back in great power and revelation to overtake, to take over the world, to take over the world. And he will rule from Jerusalem, and the whole world will become compliant right now, right now, right when he comes. And those who are not compliant are going to be out of here. There's going to be total compliance. I like that because I like rules. I don't know why. I was brought up to respect the law and respect rules and respect the authority of teachers and leaders and police officers and people who had, you know, had authority to show them respect. I'm looking forward to that day. Now, what I'm about to read to you is a pep rally for us ruling and reigning during the millennial reign. We're not going to be on the sidelines. We're not just going to be standing there applauding everything that Jesus does. We're going to be working for him and taking care of whatever needs to be taken care of. Now, beginning with verse 8, it says, "Now, when he had taken the scroll," Jesus is the only one that could take this scroll and open it up. "But when he had taken the scroll, the four living creatures and the 24 elders fell down before the Lamb." John said, he heard the elders say, "Behold, the Lion of the tribe of Judah." And John said, "And I beheld, and I saw the Lamb as though he had been slain." So Jesus, I'm going to tell you what, folks, victory is in Jesus. And when we attach our loyalty and our faith to him, we're going to have victory. But we're not going to have it on our own. We do not create victory. We create trouble on our own. But in Christ, total commitment and submission to him, we create the fallout of the victory of Christ in our lives. "So the elders fell down and worshiped the Lamb, each having a harp and a golden bowl full of incense, which are the prayers of the saints." So pray more, so your bowl is fuller. Oh, come on, we're going to pray more. Because when that bowl pours out, I don't want a half a teacup of prayers. I want more. I want it to really show that I spoke to God and cared about that fellowship. So, and they sang a new song. We sing about this, but guess what? It's not the new song. Because all of us are singing it with faith and looking forward to this time. But when this song is being sung, it's a new song because the battle is finished. We have won and we've been brought before the Lord and we've made it. We're there and we're celebrating and we're having a great time. And they sang a new song, "You are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, for you were slain." Why is he worthy? Because he's a son of God. He is both Jewish and Gentile. A couple of people in the lineage of Christ, Rahab and Ruth. So he's got us covered, and he reached out to all the world to be saved. The Jews weren't on board quickly, and Jesus reached out to the Gentiles, and thank God we're part of that blessing. "For you were slain and have redeemed us to God by your blood." The only reason that we're going to be there is because of the shed blood of Christ on the cross. And then he speaks of every tribe, tongue, people, and nation. Everyone is welcome. And if we have problems with that, we're probably in trouble with going to make it ourselves. We cannot allow prejudice to come into our lives. And by that, I don't mean that we should expect that people that are different than us should live differently or that they can't do right. That's just like children. A lot of people think children can't do right. I'm going to tell you, children can do right if they're taught and trained that way. Unfortunately, some people aren't teaching them and training, but if you'll train them right, then they'll do right. We didn't have a choice. And people that are different than us, I don't care what their culture is, they can be righteous like we are through the blood of Jesus Christ. No one is condemned not to be a success in the Lord. We all have the same blood covering. And out of every tribe, tongue, and people and nation, thank God, everybody's welcome. The door is open. Come on in and be a part of us. And we're going to be a part of them throughout eternity. And have made us kings and priests to our God, and we shall reign on the earth. So we're not only kings. So far, I haven't made it very high in life. I haven't been even a mayor of a small town. That'd be kind of nice. Start there and then move on up. And we have people that go into different offices in the city and then the state. And we have our governor, and we have our president, and all the senators and all of that. All of these people are in a position in this world that we're going to be appointed by God, and we're going to be both kings and priests. And whatever God wants, you know how we pray, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven? When we rule and reign, it's going to be done that way. And we're going to be able to back it up through the authority of Jesus Christ. And then verse 11 says, then I looked and I heard the voice of many angels around the throne. What a day that will be when Jesus will see and he shows us around the throne of God. And we hear the many angels and the living creatures and the elders, and the number of them was 10,000 times 10,000. If you have your calculator, 10,000 times 10,000, some of you may know instantly. I had to figure it out. 10,000 times 10,000 is 100 million. And if I'm wrong, I'll apologize next week. And thousands of thousands, how do you interpret that? That is, wow. What this number is a number that no man can calculate. It is beyond counting. You say, well, wait a minute, if we had time, we could probably count. We might, but we're going to just be happy with the fact that it's, Jimmy Swigert's commentary says, I think 100 trillion. And in the Greek, he said it means innumerable. So it's, you know what I'm telling you is that someday there's going to be, we're a small group of people, just a few of us, but someday we're going to be a part of this big, 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 big group. And we're all going to be praising God. We're going to be praising God with everything that we have. It will be total praise to the Lord. And so that we have the elders and all in the calculation saying with a loud voice, worthy is the Lamb who was slain. This theme is going to happen over and over again in heaven. Never will the cross and the sacrifice of Christ be forgotten. It will forever be the theme that not only is brought salvation to we Gentiles and the church group, but to the Jews that will follow after the Battle of Armageddon and will give their heart to the Lord only through Jesus Christ. Only the blood, only the sacrifice. And so that is going to be the worthy is the Lamb that was slain to receive power, riches, wisdom, strength. You see the themes of this different praise. He is worthy. He is worthy to receive power and riches and wisdom and strength and honor and glory and blessing, all to Jesus Christ. The focus is nowhere else but upon him. And every creature that is in heaven and on the earth and under the earth, such as are in the sea, and all that are in them, I heard saying, blessing, honor, and glory, and power be to him who sits on the throne, and to the Lamb forever and ever. So this is going to go on a long time. And the total praise that we're going to hear in heaven is going to empower everything that we do. Praise will bring power. And the four living creatures said, amen. You know, I got this song and listened to it. I've listened to it probably 20 times this week because I kind of like to get it in my spirit, and it takes a little longer maybe for me than others. But total praise, why the amens? Amen means it's truth. That is the truth. Or there's no other way of looking at it. That's it. That's what it is. Amen. And the 24 elders fell down and worshiped him who lives forever and ever. So when we understand that Jesus is the only, he is absolutely our only source and resource. Absolutely, we can lean on him, and he wants to provide for us. And our part of that is a praise of surrender and absolute recognition that Jesus is the one, he's the only one. And then we can have confidence and build trust in that what the Lord has promised us, he will do. Sometimes we struggle with faith, but I want us to understand the promise is not from people, it's from the Word of God. And what God has promised, I can't make it happen. I can't even make my own promises happen sometimes. I promise things and something come up and I just couldn't do it, couldn't deliver. But remember this, Jesus died on the cross so that every promise could be fulfilled. So everything that we need, it doesn't matter. Every one of us has a different place of need today. And some need strength in your body, some needs healing. Some needs direction and help and guidance. Others just needs the presence of God. You know, there are people in the world, I see it on Facebook all the time, about I'm giving out hugs. There's sometimes people need hugs. And there are people suffering today because they've lost a family member. That's an absolute difficult thing to deal with. But the Lord has promised that in every situation, you can look to him. Yes. Debbie, I'd like you to come to the piano, and if you don't mind, play "There Is Healing in This House." I want to pray for anyone today, and Brother Arton, we're going to come back to you and pray for you. And wait a minute, I've got oil. And we're going to pray, we're going to anoint anyone who needs prayer for anything. And so I'm going to go back and pray for Brother Arton. And if anyone that wants prayer, we'll come and pray for Sister Watson and Brother Henry. And anyone else, we'll pray for you for whatever it is. Because there is healing in this house. What? Because this is a special place? It is a special place. But no, because of what Jesus promised. And that he died on the cross to make his promise real. How many is enjoying salvation? The song says, so rich and so free. We're enjoying that. And then there's other promises that have been given too. And we want to enjoy every promise. Someday we're going to rule and reign with him. But we want to pray now for the situations and the needs that are present. Join with me. Praise Jesus. Praise Jesus. Strength. Healing in this body. Healing in this body. Brother Arton has great faith in you, Lord. And we join with his faith, and we join with each other's faith, and we pray you'll bring a touch. Healing, Lord, from the top of his head to his feet. In Jesus' name. Amen. Jesus. Hallelujah. Holy God. Holy God. Holy God. Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Sister Watson. I pray strength in her body now. Oh, Ramaka. Lord, your mercy flowed. That great mountain of your tenderness. Lord Jesus, I pray that you will bring a strength that she hasn't felt in a while. I pray, Lord, that you'll sustain every day a new strength, a new strength, a new strength. Mercy, tender mercy, Lord, in your love. Lord, you're with her. She feels your presence, but I pray that you'll bring her strength. Physical touch in Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Lord, touch Henry. Touch Henry, Lord, with physical strength and help. I pray, Lord, that you'll renew in him, Lord, the step, Lord, the getting up and the sitting down, God. I pray, Lord, that you'll help him right now. Lord, in your tender mercy. Oh, Lord, how, Lord God, you pour upon us that mercy every day. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you, Jesus, for your grace. Thank you for your tender mercy. Holy God, we love you. Thank you. Hallelujah. Anyone else you'd like a touch today? Jesus, I pray that you'll touch Sister Barbara. I pray, Lord, for your physical touch. Lord Jesus, you'll just bring upon her, Lord, your grace and your mercy, tender mercy, O Lord. Right now, Lord, I pray for a healing that starts with her head to her feet, Lord. Your grace, Lord, and your mercy. You created us, and you can bring healing and deliverance. I honor you today. I honor you today for your healing promise. And we claim and lay hold today by faith in the blood of Jesus Christ. Lord, for this promise fulfilled right now in your name, Jesus. You are the healer. You are our physical touch now in Jesus' name. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. We honor you, Lord. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anyone else need prayer? Praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's just open our hearts for a moment before God. Lord, we're so grateful for you. What you did for us on the cross and what you do for us every day. Lord, I pray that you'll bring revelation. That you'll bring revelation. And we, Lord, we want to spend time before you all the time loving you and praising you. Because you're the total support for our lives. You're the only salvation. We thank you for that. We pray, Lord, that you'll bring your blessing, that your strength. Lord, and this week we're going to run up against something that is going to be difficult, but we want to see your hand working in our lives. Help us, Lord. Help us, Lord. Give us that strength to get on and to move past. Lord, your mercy, your help in our lives. And let us reach out to our families, Lord, in prayer. We pray for those who of our families that are not saved. And we pray, Lord, for your mercy in their lives. We want to see testimonies of them coming to you. Use whoever to witness your grace and your mercy. Lord, we pray for strength in those that are sick. We have many that are on our prayer list every day that need a healing. Touch them, Lord, and touch their soul. Let them be saved and born again. Soften their hearts to you, Lord. We pray for tender mercy and the power of your miracle Lord, work miracles in our lives, miracles in our hearts. We thank you for this congregation. Dismiss us now in your presence. And Lord, we'll come back again tonight at 5 o'clock. We want to meet you, Lord, here again, and let your word just bring strength to us. You can do all things, and we can do all things through you. We honor and give you glory. Amen. God bless you.